Hey, want to learn more about the last great fishing frontier? Then look no further than FishingCanada.com.
Oh, buddy, that's a tank.
The biggest and most comprehensive website dedicated exclusively to, you guessed it, fishing in Canada. Videos, blogs, how-tos, and GPS waypoints to some of Canada's best fishing hotspots and much, much more.
This is a beast.
We'll even show you how to prepare a world-famous Canadian shore lunch. If you love fishing, then you'll love FishingCanada.com. Welcome back to the program. Outdoor journalist, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Angelo Biola, Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, Justin Ryan Manitad. Wow, that's quite a group.
Mm-hmm.
Holy mackerel. Very impressive. Joining us now on the line with us from BPF Safety out of Guelph, Ontario. His name is Todd Fritzley. And he is the chainsaw expert that we talked about at the beginning of the program, because it seems as Canadians, we consider hockey sticks, canoes, and chainsaws as part of our heritage. It's what we do as Canadians. But have we ever received instruction on using these chainsaws? I'll give you an example. I own two of them. I own two chainsaws. I don't know why, but I own two chainsaws. One of them I purchased at an auction, I'm going to say about 5-6 years ago, has not even been out of the box. But I just had to have it. Another one.
Just in case the other one broke.
Well, I guess so. I don't use the other one, but I have no idea. But anyways, hopefully shedding a little bit of light on that subject is Todd Fritz. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. It's true, though. Eh? We own these things, and you hear them all over the place when you're out in the woods and booting stuff. But
that's right.
you don't really see or hear anything in terms of proper usage, safety, and all that stuff, right?
Well, more on the private landowner side of things, definitely not. Yeah. But if you switch focus over more to the trades. Being the forestry sector, arboriculture, the industry that I'm involved with, you do hear about it a lot more. But from the private landowner and private sportsman, that sort of thing, no, it is very unheard of.
Is it true that being a chainsaw operator in the forestry sector is one of the most dangerous occupations you can have in this part of the world?
It definitely is, yeah. And, another thing... within this industry, it is very much worldwide as well. So, overseas in Europe, huge arboriculture and forestry sector there as well. So it is very much a worldwide industry, and definitely one of the most dangerous ones there is out there for sure, yes.
Todd, do we have any stats? Do we have numbers on the number of accidents? Any statistics that we keep in Canada regarding chainsaws?
Yeah, Canada-wide, it kind of more or less breaks down province to province, and sometimes these sorts of stats, can be hard to come by. But if I can give you some examples from an Ontario perspective, within the forestry sector in the province of Ontario, in a 5-year span from 2010 to 2015, there were 13 traumatic fatal injuries within the forestry and logging sector involving chainsaws. And having said that as well, every year on average, 1 to 2 workers are killed by a falling tree or limb within the forestry sector. So it is very, very serious stuff. And, it's one of those things where it does boil down to, proper training and, proper situational awareness, that sort of thing. So, and, from 2014 to 2017, a little bit more recently, within the private tree care sector, 9 people have been killed and 67 critically injured while working on trees in the province of Ontario. So, and that's coming straight from the Ministry of Labor. So, pretty serious stuff.
No kidding. So, yeah. are people seeking safety courses? Or are there, like, set that up for me? What's the infrastructure look like for people who are buying a chainsaw for the first time? What have they got available to them?
Well, there are a number of providers out there like myself, but from a private landowner's perspective, people who are using these machines and those individuals that are out there seeking training, honestly, it's probably 5% at most are actually actively looking for ways to more safely and efficiently use the machine. So, you know, that is concerning. I have been lucky enough to teach some of these individuals that, you know, whether they would just be cottagers, hunters, fishermen, you know, just sportsmen in general that, you know, have seen the value of getting properly trained and learning how to do things safer. But we've got a long way to go when it comes to the private landowners, for sure.
Well, you don't even think about it. As I said at the beginning of the segment, I own two of them, and I've never even thought about, you know, a safety course of any kind. But, boy, does it ever make sense when you think about what the machinery entails? You know, it makes a whole lot of sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, and like, really the biggest thing that comes down, or the biggest contributor to the accidents and the fatalities that are out there, you know, at a more professional level or private landowner, it basically boils down to just a lack of understanding of how that machine actually works when it connects with the wood.
Right.
And just poor situational awareness. You know, people that are taking these machines and putting themselves in situations that are just completely out of their wheelhouse, so to speak, and where, you know, it's, you know, there are some, a lot of tasks out there that should just be left to professionals. But again, you know, everyone wants to save a buck, right? And then, you know, that's when things happen. And, but again, a lot of this can be preventive, you know, through something like a, you know, being taught from a certified professional, but also, a lot of these people that are operating these machines out there, you know, on the weekends, cutting firewood kind of thing, you know, they're not wearing the proper personal protective equipment, which is, that's your last line of defense. Right. I mean, going out into your woodlot with your chainsaw, you know, and a pair of Levi's and running shoes, I mean, that's not a good idea. So that's what's going on out there. So
yeah, it's even worse than that, to be honest with you. I've been in a lot of camps and have seen people operating these chainsaws, and not only is the attire not appropriate, and I'm talking shorts and sandals, but sometimes I've seen, you know, after a couple of beers, getting on the business end of a chainsaw. So,
That's
insane. Hey, Todd, what do you think of the online courses that are being offered?
The online courses, I mean, I'll be frank with you guys, they don't really do it for me at all.
Okay.
I mean, I struggle with the idea that someone who sits in front of a computer for a couple hours reading through, you know, a lesson plan and not actually touching the machine qualifies them to be trained in its use.
Right.
You know, kind of look at it as, you know, when we learn how to drive a vehicle, I mean, you know, you have to use it. You have to physically touch it, pick it up, turn it on. And like I said, a lot of these accidents are a result of people just not really understanding what that machine is doing when it connects with the wood. And that is the first step in better protecting yourself. You know, when you go back out into your woodlot to use your chainsaw. And I mean, chainsaws, like, they don't have to be these intimidating, scary machines, right? I mean, when they're respected and used properly and you understand them, they are super efficient.
Right.
And actually, at the end of the day, I mean, I wouldn't do what I do if chainsaws weren't fun to use. I mean, they're a blast to use as long as you know what you're doing and using them properly. So I don't feel like an online course, you know, sitting for a couple hours in front of a computer. I just, you know, that just doesn't do it for me. I mean, look at the firearms course yourself, right? I mean, you know, these firearms courses, and this is actually something I always say to my students in my courses, you know, when, you know, I'm standing up there in front of them holding the chainsaw, I tell them, like, look, this machine is the most dangerous tool you'll put in your hands next to a firearm. And I have a lot of hunters that take my courses. And, you know, when you take your firearms course, I mean, you physically pick the firearm up and, you know, you run through all the safety aspects of the tool. And, again, I mean, without being able to physically touch it and handle it and understand what it's doing, I don't feel like you're really doing yourself any favors by just, you know, taking an online course.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, listen, folks can get more information if they do want to look at something a little more effective than an online course. They can always go to BPF Safety. That's BPFSafety.com. And I'm sure that Todd and his people will be more than happy to look after you. Todd, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks a lot for having me on, guys, and enjoy your day. Thank you.
Thank you. Same to you. Todd Fritzley from BPF Safety in Guelph, Ontario. He runs courses where you can actually have a hands-on training session with a professional on how to use them. Not a bad idea when you consider some of the ramifications of using one of these chainsaws improperly. So, yeah. All right.